Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to take some time this afternoon. I had some other scriptures I wanted to share with you this morning, and we didn't quite get to, so we stopped with Philippians 4, verse 4. And these are just selected readings that I'd hope to cover today, so we're going to continue with those and then wrap up in Hebrews chapter 13. So that's a sneak preview. Hebrews 13 is where we're going to end up. We're going to start in Ephesians 5. God's word calls us to be thankful from the Old Testament to the New, all the way into the book of the Revelation. We see that God's people give thanks to God, and we have much to rejoice in. And so we want to give thanks to God. We're going to stand together again. If you're able, let's stand. We're going to pray and read Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15. Y'all ready to go to bed? Yeah. What a joy together, and I know every Sunday afternoon your flesh is weak, but what a joy to get together around the Word of God. So fight the sleepies away, don't give in, fight that good fight, keep your eyes open and on the Word of God this afternoon. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessings. Lord, I thank you so much that we can gather with the saints, that we can be with our church family, this body of believers, that we can worship you together, that we can pray together, that we can share our burdens with one another, and that we can come together in unity around the name of Christ. And we pray that Christ has been magnified and will continue to be glorified in all we do today. Thank you for the bounty that you've given us. Lord, you are so, so good to us. We have so much to enjoy in this life because of your love and your mercy and your grace, and we praise your name. Please bless your word now. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts and convict us. And Lord, I pray that you bless your word in spite of me. I just pray that you would teach us, that we, each of us, here in the room, watching online, would hear from you today, God, that you would speak to our hearts, convict us, change us, and conform us to the image of your dear Son. Lord, let us leave here with hearts of gratitude and to walk in gratefulness day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. Please be seated. And I know Brother Ben, I guess, started right there last time and preached to us about husbands and wives, but really not about husbands and wives, really about Christ and his church, about the gospel. But I just wanted you to see that this afternoon, that we are to give thanks always for all things. We understand that all of this flows from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we've been born again, it ought to change the way that we live our lives. And we ought to be careful how we walk. We ought to redeem the time because the days are evil. Walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Being filled with the Spirit and praising God, singing, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. So the gospel is going to not only change our eternity, it's going to change our lives day to day, the way we live day by day, but it's also going to change our heart, that we can live with a heart of gratitude, always thankful. Gratitude changes everything. When we live with a heart of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, it changes our perspective on everything. And so, you know, we start this way all the time. I try to start it with you guys. When we have our men's Bible study on Monday nights, we almost always start with what's everybody thankful for. We have our Sunday school class in the back that I'm a part of. We start with what's everybody thankful for. When we gather our family together at the Slape House and we have our devotional time or our family worship, whatever you want to call it, we try to start, or at least some part of that is what's everybody thankful for. I want my kids to have a heart of gratitude. We live in a society today that seems to have an entitlement attitude rather than a grateful attitude. And we need to understand today that what we have are blessings from God, so we want to give thanks always for all things. And let me say this, it's not just gratefulness to something or whatever. I just saw on the news this past week the Tulsa City Council meeting was opened in prayer to Medusa and the goddess Gorgon. If you didn't see that, good for you. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Prayers to the goddess Gorgon and invoking the power of Medusa. That's where we're at in our society today. And I can already hear the detractors. Well, if you're going to have freedom of religion, it's freedom of everything. Well, I got news for you. You can pray to Medusa all you want to. And it's just like the guys praying to Baal. She's on vacation. She's asleep. She's not there because she's not real. So we're not just giving thanks to anything. We're not giving thanks to Father Sky and Mother Earth. We're giving thanks to the God who created all things. And so we when we give thanks, we're not just giving thanks to the air. We're giving thanks unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the only way to come to God is through Jesus Christ. And so we're not just giving thanks. We're giving thanks to God who created all things. Let's jump over to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to try to move quickly. Colossians chapter 1, find verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I don't know if you took time to go out into the hallway there and look at the give thanks wall, but it's awesome. If you ought to take the time before you leave here today, and we'll leave it up for a little while, but you ought to walk over there and just look at it and see all the things that people are thankful for. I saw salvation, and I saw mercy, and I saw family and church family. I saw things like food and bed. Somebody's thankful for their cat. I don't know why. Why you'd ever be thankful for a cat, but somebody is. God bless you. Somebody wrote on one of the cards, I'm thankful that Brother Bill Don is better looking than Mike. Not sure who did that, but somebody did that. He's saying it wasn't him. I don't know. Yeah, probably not. So there's a lot of things that a lot of people are thankful for. We ought to have hearts of gratitude. But I want you to get this. The same thing that we see everywhere we've looked today. Remember when they came before the Lord in the Old Testament rejoicing? That was preceded by repentance. The celebration came after the sacrifice. The rejoicing came after the repentance. And for you and I, when we come before God in repentance of faith, trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus, it's his sacrifice. And when we repent and turn from our sin and trust in him, that sacrifice leads to celebration. Our repentance leads to rejoicing. But we have to have that first before we can have the second. And when you have repented, listen, you need to hear this afternoon. When you have repented, you should rejoice. Some of us get hung up and beating ourselves up and trying to feel bad for our sin and trying to somehow give some kind of penance and do something to earn it. And we feel like we got to keep ourselves down because we don't deserve his forgiveness. No, you ought to get up because he has forgiven you. You ought to lift up your hands in praise to the one who saved you and who has redeemed you. And you ought to rejoice in that. And what you ought to do is get up and live like you've been forgiven. Like he really means it. Like he really has forgiven you. Like he really has saved you. Like he really has redeemed you. Like he really did sacrifice himself for you. You ought to get up and live that way. And so we walk circumspectly and we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And so it changes the way we live because he's changed us from the inside out. In verse 11, we just read, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience, all cheerful endurance, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. And so we ought to have joy and gratefulness and we ought to give thanks. And listen, I want to remind you again this afternoon, it's not enough to feel thankful. We need to express our thanks to God. Praise is perfected, it's completed, it's finished in the act of actually giving thanks. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And how do we do that? How do we praise him? Listen, it can be in a prayer. It can be in a song. It can be in a testimony, testifying to somebody else of the goodness of God. It can be in writing something down on a card and stapling it to the wall. It can be in a lot of different ways, but we need to express our thanks to God outwardly, giving praise to his name. Fast forward, Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. See, the gospel is going to change us from the inside out. It's going to change the way that we live our lives, and it's going to give us a heart of gratitude all the time. Colossians 3 is parallel to what we read in Ephesians chapter 5, and where in Ephesians 5, he said, be filled with the Spirit. In Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the word of God are linked together and cannot be separated. What do I mean? I mean, you cannot be filled with the Spirit without being filled with the Word of God. And if you're filled with the Word of God in the right way, in the biblical sense, then you will be filled with the Spirit. Fill up your heart and mind with the Word of God. Empty yourself of yourself and be filled with the Spirit of God. So I just wanted to walk through some more of these verses. We started way back in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We walked through Psalms. We walked through 1 Thessalonians. I mentioned Revelation, and all of these different places point us to this. We are to give thanks to God, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, all of that to get to this, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. And I want to spend just a few more minutes and give you some truths from these few verses about having this thankfulness to God, the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let me give you three things this afternoon. Number one, we are sanctified by his suffering. We are sanctified, we're set apart, we're purified, we're made right in the eyes of God. The work of purifying us and making us just in the eyes of God, that happens because Jesus suffered outside the gate. That is, on the hill called Calvary, our Savior suffered for our sins. And it's because of his suffering that we can be sanctified. Can I just say this afternoon, all of us need sanctification. We need cleansing. We need purification. We've been saved by faith in Jesus. He's made us new creatures in Christ, and he continues to do the work of putting off the old man and putting on the new man in our lives. But we are sanctified so that he could sanctify the people with his own blood. He suffered without the gate. So Hebrews is pointing back to those Old Testament things that we talked about this morning, those feast days and those sacrifices, the Sabbaths, and how that they spilled the blood of goats and bulls there's no telling how many millions of gallons of blood was shed, and all of that blood could never take away sins. So Christ came and made one sacrifice, one offering of his own blood once for all, where none of those sacrifices could take away sin. His blood takes away sin forever, once for all. And so Christ came and he shed his blood, and we are sanctified by the blood. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus today? They tell me there's some people who try to take blood out of the Bible. They tell me that there's people who don't want to preach the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood. But friend, without their blood, there is no remission of sin. So we thank God for the blood. We're sanctified by his sufferings. Number two, we're seeking his city. He says, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Jesus was killed outside the gate. It was a shameful thing what happened to Christ. He bore our shame. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, you need to bear his reproach too. You need to be willing to suffer too. You need to be willing to go through the problems and the reproaches and the scorn and the hate of mankind, because this world is not your own. This is not our home. We're just passing through. We're seeking a city. We're looking for a heavenly city where Christ is on the throne. That city that's going to come down, that city that's going to endure forever and ever, that city that the light of the city is Christ himself forever and ever. That's the city we're looking for. And so this idea of seeking his city means that I'm not going to worry about the problems of this life, our light affliction, the troubles and trials and tribulations of this life. I'm going to look past that. I'm going to look past the suffering because I'm looking for his city. And I'm going to endure and suffer reproach for the name of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples that the servant is not greater than his master. If the world hates you, know that it hated, he said, me. It hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own. But he called us out of this world. So the world's going to hate us. So suffer reproach. Be willing to take a stand for Jesus. Let me ask you a question this afternoon. Do you think that it's easier to just kind of go along to get along and not stand up for Jesus, to just kind of blend into the crowd? Or do you think it's harder to stand up for Jesus, to be willing to be made fun of for Jesus, to be willing to be attacked for Jesus? You think that's hard? See, I think that our human nature, we just kind of want to go along to get along. We just kind of want to blend into the crowd. We don't want to cause any trouble. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to draw any attention to ourselves. But I'm going to tell you this. When you stand up for Jesus, you're going to stand out. And when you stand up for Jesus, you may find that you have more enemies in this world than you realize. When you stand up for Jesus biblically, there may be some people who don't love you so much, who hate you. But we ought to be willing to suffer reproach for Christ. Take a stand for him. Because we're not looking for, this is not our home. We're seeking a city to come, the city of Christ. How about that? Is anybody thankful for that city that's coming? Where you don't need the sun and the moon and the stars anymore because the Lamb is the light thereof? Are you thankful for that city that's coming? You know, we spent a lot of time today talking about all the folks that couldn't be here because they're hurting or they're sick, people who are in the hospital. I think I spent all day yesterday just texting a group of people like, pray for this person, they're in the hospital. Pray for that person, their loved one's about to pass away. Pray for this person, they're in the hospital. Finally, Melissa texted me. She's like, I'm going to need you to send me some good news. Right? It's hard. Aren't you thankful that there's a city coming where there's no more sin? No more sorrow? No more sickness, no more death, no more hospitals, no more doctors. I'm going to get one of you eventually. Here we go. No more teachers, dirty looks. I don't know what to do for you guys. No more IRS. It's going to be the joy of the Lord forever, and it's coming. And you can give thanks for it today. sanctified by his suffering, seeking his city, and last, sacrificing continually. Look at this. Verse 15, by him, therefore, by Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Two sacrifices he mentions here for us to give continually. One is praise, the sacrifice of praise. Remember, he's pointing to those Old Testament days, and their sacrifices were what? Well, they would bring in the grain, and they would make the Old Testament calls meat offering, but that meat offering was actually grain. It was a grain offering, an offering of flour. Or they would offer oil, or they would offer their crops, whatever it was, they offered that. And then there were also the other sacrifices, the flesh sacrifices, the bulls and the goats and the rams and the lambs and all of those things, those blood sacrifices that were given. And he's saying they brought all of those things. They were sacrifices to God, a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. But we don't give those kind of offerings today. Our offerings are a sacrifice of praise. And it's to be a continual sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice of our lips giving thanks to the name of God. So in the name of Jesus, by him, by Christ, we give thanks to God, and we do it all the time. We never stop. What if something bad happens? Give thanks. What if something good happens? Give thanks. What if it's just a regular day where nothing good or bad, it's just another day? Give thanks. Give thanks continually, never stop. So it's praise. And then I want you to see this, it's giving, verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good and to communicate is the idea of helping other people, giving to other people. Communicate means to give. We would call that an offering, or maybe charitable donation would be the way we would say it. But we ought to have a giving sacrifice. Giving grows a heart of thanksgiving. The Lord said it's better to give than to receive. Right? And giving, see, it's weird because you think, well, getting, that's how I give thanks, because when I get, I'm thankful. But God works in different ways than we think. When you give, it puts you in a position of thanksgiving. Giving grows a heart of thanksgiving. Someone once said you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. Don't go through life with a catcher's mitt. Does everybody get that? Like, it's America. You guys still know something about baseball, right? Catchers don't have a mitt on both hands. Got a mitt on one hand because you got to be able to throw something back. Listen, God has been good to us, and we've talked a lot today about how he's blessed us and what he's done for us. But he doesn't want us to just sit and take everything he gives us. He wants us to give back. He wants us to be channels of blessing. He wants to take what he pours into us and for us to give it to others. So don't forget to do good. Don't forget to communicate, to be charitable in your giving, to see the need of others and to give, because God is well pleased with those kind of sacrifices when we help other people. Giving grows a heart of thanksgiving. So we're sanctified by his suffering. We're seeking his city, and we're sacrificing to him continually our praise and our giving, and it's all for his glory. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's stand together. Be intentional. Set aside times as individuals and as a family to get away from work, get away from busyness, and spend time giving thanks to God, praising him, rejoicing in his goodness. Be intentional about that with yourself, with your family. And then live your life with gratefulness to cultivate that attitude in your family. I want my kids to grow up to learn to be thankful, to be grateful, to realize how blessed they are, and to know where their blessings come from. Where does every good, perfect gift come from? comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We ought to know that today. We ought to make sure that the generations that are coming behind us know that, so that when they have Thanksgiving, God help that our nation will continue to celebrate Thanksgiving in the decades to come. But they don't just give thanks to the air, but they give thanks to Almighty God, who's given us this life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this afternoon. Thank you for the wonderful fellowship and the meal and just the time to spend together with our brothers and sisters. Lord, we know that every good thing comes from you, and we praise you. Lord, I pray that our homes would be filled with gratitude. We'd be thankful for the very house that we live in, the bed that we sleep on, the food that we eat, that you provide for our every need and so much more. Thank you for good health, and thank you for family and friends. Thank you for this church. Thank you for healing. Thank you for protection, provision. Thank you above all things for Christ, who died for us and rose again, that you would suffer for us so that we could be sanctified. Lord, we rejoice. We praise you. We stand in awe of your love and mercy. Please forgive our failures. Forgive us when we're not grateful. And help us to live our lives with a heart of gratitude day by day. May our homes be filled with rejoicing because you've given us repentance and faith. We praise you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.